Al will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Al.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another edition of the Bodybuilding Legends show, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding. We talk about the history of bodybuilding. And today we got one of my favorite guests. Name, of course, is Phil Williams. And Phil was the 1985 MPC Nationals overall winner and the 1984 MPC USA overall winner. And then Phil had kind of a short pro career, but his first pro show, he won the 1988 Chicago Pro Show, beating out Gary Stridham and Bob Paris and a bunch of other really top pros at the time. So we just had Phil on a few months ago, where we were talking about how he got into bodybuilding and some of the gyms he trained at, like George Turner's gym in St. Louis, and also the original Gold's Gym, or the early Gold's Gym, and also his training that he did over in Sweden. So I wanted to have Phil back on, and I thought we could talk about those three victories that I just mentioned, the MPC 1984 MPC USA, 1985 MPC Nationals, and then the 1988 Chicago Pro Show. And I just wanted to go into detail with Phil and talk to him about how his preparation was for the show, what kind of training he did, what kind of nutrition he followed, the competitors that he competed with. And I thought this would be interesting because I do get a lot of emails from you guys once in a while. And you're always asking about, let's go into more detail about how these guys train and what kind of diet did they follow and things like that. So this is what we got the chance to talk to Phil about this week. And that's the focus of this interview. So it's going to be a really special interview. And Phil's always one of my favorite guests. So you guys are really going to enjoy this. In fact, it was actually so long that we made it two parts. So we will cover part one today. And then next week, we will have part two of our interview. And I want to mention off the bat that we are brought to you by our sponsor, Old School Labs. I have been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. I'm talking no proprietary blends, no artificial flavors or sweeteners. And you may have heard of their award-winning fat burner called Vintage Burn, which is the world's first muscle-preserving fat burner, or Vintage Blast, which is the world's first two-stage pre-workout. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They're the brand I used to win the Natural Universe contest in 2012. They're also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, who is the 2017 and 2018 Classic Physique Olympia champion, and he's also the 2018 Classic Physique Arnold Classic champion. They also sponsor 1983 Mr. Olympia Samir Benoot, and bodybuilding legend Tom Platz. So use the discount code LEGENDS12 when you go to oldschoollabs.com, and you will get 12% off your order. Or you can go to amazon.com and make your order there. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. And speaking of Old School Labs, they did release another video on their YouTube channel today, or not today, but this week. And this one has some interviews that I did at Gold's Gym when I was out there Memorial Day weekend. And included in this one are interviews with Rick Valente. And Rick, of course, is an old school bodybuilder. He used to run Body Shaping. He used to host Body Shaping on ESPN TV. And he did that for many, many years. So we got a really good interview with Rick. Rick's been around the scene for a long time. And he trained at Gold's way back in the 80s. And he trained with many of the top guys. So we had a really good interview with Rick. We also talked to my friend Aaron Reed, and Aaron I met out here in Tampa when I first moved out here. Aaron is a real big guy, and I mean that literally. He's about 6'7", probably the world's tallest bodybuilder, or one of the world's tallest bodybuilders. And so Aaron recently moved out to California, and he trains at Gold's now, and he's trying to pursue a movie career out there. So I got a chance to talk to Aaron, and it was right after he moved out there, he got a role in some TV show in India. It was like the Game of Thrones TV show for India. And he played this really big bad guy and was carrying this huge sword and he fought the hero. So that was really cool. So we talked about that in the interview. And we also talked to Jim Arrington, who Jim is 85 years old, and he's the oldest bodybuilder competing. And I saw him at Gold's, so I grabbed him for an interview while we were out there. So all of that is on oldschoollabs.com, or Old School Labs YouTube channel, I should say. So go to their YouTube channel and check that out. That was just up this week. Yeah, and we are getting close now to Christmas. We're only a couple weeks from Christmas and finally enjoying food again because my diet is over with. And also this week, I had a really good interview when I was out at Critical Bench for my last photo shoot. And they have a podcast called Strong by Design. And I'm going to put the link to the podcast in the notes here for this podcast. So if you want to check that out, it was a really good interview I did here with Coach Chris Wilson, who works for criticalbench.com. And we had a really good interview. Chris was talking to me about when I was younger and got into bodybuilding and my early influences from the comic books to Bruce Lee, and how I was training in high school and how I had the passion and commitment to be a bodybuilder at a very young age. So it was a really, really good interview. I really enjoyed doing it. We touched on a lot of things that I never really talked about in a lot of my interviews. So check that out. It's called Strong by Design, and that's their podcast. So you can either go to iTunes and check it out, or like I said, I have the link right here in the notes right underneath the podcast. So check it out here. But that was really, really cool. So check that out when you get a chance. And I got to see Dave Palumbo this week. I was working my job at the hospital doing security, and I was working out in the main lobby, and I looked around, and there comes Dave Palumbo walking towards me. So that was pretty cool. So Dave was going to Tampa General Hospital because he's getting his shoulder worked on. He's getting shoulder reconstruction surgery this week, I think this Monday. So by the time you hear this podcast, he will probably have had his surgery. So that was cool. We took a picture, and he's like, "What are you doing here?" So he didn't know I was working at the hospital. So that was fun. So I wish Dave the best of luck with his surgery. I know that's a big surgery. He said he was a little nervous about it. I guess he did have his other shoulder operated on before a couple of years ago, and he's using the same doctor. And we did get some emails and some comments on my Facebook page about last week's show, which was with Manuel Perry. Richard Baldwin made a comment on my Facebook page, and he said, "My son Ryan and I ran into Manny and his son in Venice last summer. It was great to talk to him 40 years after we last competed against each other. A great champion, father, and gentleman. A great interview, John. Keep up the great job." Shaddy Shadster said, "Great interview. Funny Serge Nubre story. Relax, relax. LOL." Scott McNally from Bodybuilding Nerds Radio said, "Hey, John, you mentioned you peaked at 198 recently. Out of curiosity, what was your stage weight when you competed?" So, Scott, the answer is, when I competed back in the 80s, I was around 205 on average. So, yeah, to weigh 198, I think, is what I weighed in the afternoon when I did my last photo shoot. That was really cool. So I was really happy with how I looked for my last photo shoot because I really held my size. And, yeah, being in my 50s now, that's pretty good compared to what I was in my 20s and 30s. I got an email from Rich, and Rich says, "Thank you, John. The Manuel Perry interview was terrific, in large part because you asked all the right questions. In addition to everything else, the 1977 Mr. America contest featured Robbie Robinson as a guest poser, and I've always believed that he reached the best condition of his life on that day. Muscle Builder magazine had several pictures of him guest posing, and to this day, those pictures never fail to astonish me. And in his book, Robbie talks about how Manuel Perry's tremendous strength made him the best training partner one could ever find. Thanks again." Yeah, I do remember those pictures, Rich, of Robbie Robinson. He was unbelievable. I think Muscle Builder only put a couple pictures of him up from that guest posing, but I remember that was leading up to the Mr. Olympia that year. I think that contest took place in July, and the Mr. Olympia was in October 1st. And I remember thinking when I was a kid looking at that magazine, I was like, wow, nobody's going to beat Robbie because he was so big and so full, and with his freaky proportions and a small waist, he just looked incredible. So if you ever get a chance to see those pictures from how Robbie looked at the 1977 Mr. America when he guest posed, like Rich said, it was just unbelievable. I got another email here. It says, "Hi, John, I've really been enjoying your podcast, and I had a comment on your Roger Walker episode. Your opinion pre-episode on Phil Heath's Olympia loss was spot on. You do an excellent job of being a neutral, positive, and professional bodybuilding historian, but it was super cool to hear your opinion this time. It's great to hear your thoughts on things bodybuilding, given your vast knowledge and passion for the sport. Kudos to you for taking on keeping the best of bodybuilding history alive for the rest of us. You rock. And that was from Scott from British Columbia, Canada. So thank you very much, Scott. That was a nice email. All right. So thank you guys for the comments and thank you for the emails. And if you want to email me about the show, just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com. And I appreciate any comments you bring or any suggestions you have for any new guests or anything you want to say. Just feel free to email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com and I will read your email on the air. And I am back to my training. I did my first week of training this week, so it felt great to get back in the gym. I was really exhausted last week after my photo shoot, so I did the right thing, and I just rested up last week, so it felt great to get back into the gym. I did my power week number one, so I'm on my power cycle for the MP6 workout, but to be honest with you, I really didn't go that heavy this week. I was just kind of getting back into it, feeling the weights, but it really did feel great to go back into the gym. I'm a little bit sore. And I'm really eating a lot. I'm eating some junk food. I'm eating some cookies and stuff. But my weight's only gone up like to 205. I'm only like 10 pounds heavier. So my metabolism must really be fast because I'm not putting on much fat. I'm still staying lean, which was my plan before this photo shoot even ended. That was my plan. I wanted to stay lean and then just slowly gain the weight. So far, with 1 week down, I'm already on track for that. So just enjoying life. It always feels great. You know how it is, guys, after you get done with the diet to be able to eat whatever you want. I'm just not going crazy. So I'm especially staying away from restaurant food. I don't want to eat a lot of restaurant food because that really has a lot of calories, a lot of sodium. And I think that really puts the weight on real quick. So I'm just kind of eating still at home and just add in a little bit of cookies or, you know, Quest bars or Quest cookies or whatever I have the taste for. Whenever I want to eat it, and I'm kind of keeping it cool so I'm not going crazy. Just trying to stay in shape over the holidays and still look good and then just slowly put on the weight. And that's what I'm planning on doing. They also announced the Arnold Classic lineup for 2019, so that is coming up quick. Looks like William Bonick is going back in it and Brandon Curry and also my favorite bodybuilder, Cedric McMillan. So it should be a good show. I think Brandon Curry could pull off an upset. I'm sure William Bonick is probably favorites as because he was already a previous winner. But I think Brandon Curry, the way he's looking, especially the way he looked at the Olympia, I mean, this guy could really pull an upset. I think he'll be in the top three. So we'll see what happens. I was looking forward to going out to the Arnold this year because I haven't gone in a couple of years. But I will be doing that seminar again out in Colorado Springs, California, or Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the AAAI conference. The organizer of that conference just called me this week and asked me if I could come out to Colorado. So unfortunately, that's always the same weekend as the Arnold Classic, so I won't be missing the Arnold again. But hopefully I can get back out there next year in 2020. All right, so that is it for our opening. I also want to mention that we are brought to you by our other sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you in the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. They have competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So those are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number, which is 813-922-8939. Or you can go to their brand new design website, which is flalternativemeds.com. That's FL for Florida, alternativemeds.com. Tell them that you heard the ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they will give you a free consultation, and they'll also give you 20% off your first order. So check them out. And I want to thank Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine both for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And here is our first part of our interview with the great Phil Williams. You guys are really going to enjoy this. All right. Welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And my guest this week is Phil Williams. And Phil is a friend of mine and he's one of my favorite bodybuilders when I was growing up in the 1980s. Phil won the 1985 NPC Nationals and then went on and won his very first pro show and the 1988 Chicago Pro Show. So today we're going to bring Phil back. We just had him on our show a couple months ago. I thought he'd bring him back. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing well. Thanks, John.
Good. Good to have you back. Getting ready for the holidays?
Kind of. Out here, I mean, it's just crazy thing about living out here is there's so many people and the traffic's so bad that once people start Christmas shopping, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of a nightmare than it is anything. Well, it's a nightmare more than anything else, let's put it that way.
Right.
Just dealing with the traffic and the crowds and the people and the lines. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to the new year, let's put it that way.
How's the action been at Gold's Gym in Venice?
Not bad. I mean, I get in there so early. I try to get there at the opening bell about 4 a.m. So really, it's slow. There's not too many people. I can get in, do the things I need to do, and get out. And I try to get out of there by 5:15, the latest. And then from there, we go for a walk down in Venice Beach. We walk down to the weight pit, and that's our cardio workout.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's good. By the time we get to the car, it's probably around 6:15. And from there, I'm able to get home and before the traffic gets real heavy.
Yeah.
So it's really just beating the crowd and beating the traffic.
Yeah. Now, you just recently got married, right, Phil? You got married this year.
I was married May 16th. Yeah.
May 16th.
To my workout partner and best friend, which, you know, that's a hard combination. To find.
Yeah, it is.
And now wife.
Right.
Yeah. So no, she's great, man. I tell you, John, she's one of the best workout partners I've ever had. One of the best. Mm-hmm. And pound for pound, she's much stronger than I am.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 204 and she's 120. And she can leg press. I mean, you trained with us once, so I mean,
yeah,
saw a little
bit. A couple times out there. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, no, she's tough.
Mm-hmm.
She's tough.
Cool.
I mean, so she's like I said, if I'd have got her 10 years or 15 years earlier, you'd know her name. People would know her name.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
And you know, it's not too late for that. If she really wants to compete, I mean, I'd like to train her for some shows.
She's never competed, right?
Never has. No. Right. She's just been training for 4 years.
Oh, really? Yeah.
She
that's right. I remember
with me
you
like
mentioned
4 years
that. Yeah.
ago. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Before that, she did like Zumba and this and that and dance classes, more or less.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But just really just good genetics.
Yeah.
Real good genetics. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a chance to train with you guys a couple of times when I was out there last May, so that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a good time. I remember that well. So, I mean, she hangs in there all the time. She's tough.
Yeah, that's
tough
awesome.
Tough lady.
You guys got any plans for the new year, for New Year's Eve?
Not really, John. We haven't even talked about it. To be honest with you, whatever comes up, if there's something we want to do, we'll do it. If not, we'll just sit here in the house. I've got my mom with us, right? My mom's 97.
Yeah, that's right.
So, So, I mean, you know, and those days are behind me, John. I mean, if there's a party we're invited to, a house party.
Yeah.
As far as a club or anything like that, you know, it's amateur night out on the road, right?
I know. I don't do that either anymore.
Night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the drink, you know, the drunk drivers out here are crazy. Driving out here is crazy. I can't imagine being out on the road on New Year's. I wouldn't even want to.
Yeah. Now, were you guys affected by those fires at all, Phil?
No. No, not at all. Actually, she had a professor, and this wasn't this fire. It was the one before it last year.
Okay.
It was a beautiful house, a Victorian house on the hill in Ventura. And from that hill, the mountain, or just let's call it a hill, you could see the ocean.
And
it was a beautiful home. And we went to see him once, and I met him, and I said, wow, what an incredible house.
Yeah.
His house burned down. That was more than 2 years ago, and he's still battling the insurance companies.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, so you can imagine. I mean, insurance companies, what they hate to do the most is pay up.
Right,
after,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, they like collecting the payments, but they don't want to pay up.
Right. So I feel sorry for these poor people who have to deal with the insurance companies. That's going to take years.
Yeah, oh my God.
It's going to take years. So, yeah, man. The fire, but you could see it. I tell you what, we left the gym one morning, and we walked down to the boardwalk from Goats, and from the boardwalk, we could see the smoke and some of the fires from the distance.
Wow.
And that had to be in Malibu because you're looking north.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And up in the Santa Monica Mountains, and which leads up to Malibu, you could actually, the smoke was incredible. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Man, it seems like those fires are becoming more and more frequent, aren't they?
Well, yeah. And, you know, the funny thing to me, John, is that it's just not one area. It's four or five different fires in different areas.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a little suspicious then, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking, are these fires set?
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But it's weird. It's just strange mm-hmm. to me. But, I mean, yeah. I don't know. But unfortunately, we live in the city, right?
Yeah.
So fires don't burn concrete, right? So we're really safe.
You're safe there, right?
My wife tells me that in Mexico, right,
uh-huh.
the poor people live in the hills and the rich people live in the city. Here, mm-hmm. the rich people live in the hills and the poor right. people live in the city.
That's true.
Yeah, the fires are crazy.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mean, it took them about a week, I think about 10 days to put that. The Woolsey Fire, they call it, which was based up in the Malibu, Thousand mm-hmm. Oaks area.
Yeah.
That's tremendous. And you know what? They say it's, I don't know if it's what it's due to, but, I mean, of course, they have their different opinions. It's due to global warming, this, that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it must have something to do with it. It must just be so dry that once they start, can't stop them, you know.
Okay,
yeah.
We've had a 7-8 year drought out here.
Jeez,
it rained about a week ago, and it rained for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And everything flooded, for the most part.
Yeah.
In certain areas,
yeah.
there was a lot of flooding. But, I mean, there's been like an 8-year drought.
Wow, unbelievable.
So, yeah, that's just, I don't know. You know, the world we live in.
Yeah, that's the world we live in. Well, Phil, I wanted to have you on the show. I really enjoyed our talk last time. We sort of talked about old school bodybuilding, and we talked about George Turner's gym, and then, you know, when you first moved out to California, and then we talked about the gyms that you were out in Sweden, and you know, the times you had out there and all that. So I wanted to bring you back, and maybe we could talk about your victories that you had, because you were one of the best amateur bodybuilders in the 1980s. You came on the scene and nobody really knew who you were. And you won the two biggest national titles, which was the USA and the Nationals, and you won them a year apart. And then, like I said, as I mentioned in the intro, when you turned pro a couple years later, you won your very first pro show against a really good field. So I thought it'd be interesting if we just talked about those three victories, the 1984 MPC USA and then the 1985 MPC Nationals, and then we could talk about that also, that pro show, the 1988 Chicago pro show, and just talk about your preparation and everything for that. So
okay.
the first one was the USA, and I remember when you won that contest. Now, this is going back now, the USA and the MPC started in 82. So you won
right.
the third one, which was in 84. So nobody really knew who you were. And I remember Rick Wayne wrote an article about you or about the contest. And it was like you were a surprise guy. So let's talk about that. What was your training like for that, Phil? I mean, were you training? Were you living in Sweden at the time or were you back in California?
Okay, I was in Sweden at the time when I started training for it.
Okay.
I had won the 83 Halmstad European Open, right?
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's the show that gave me the confidence, because I had this crazy idea at one point thinking, you know what, it's so hard in America, you know, that, wow, since I'm in Sweden, I have a Swedish wife at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, what if I get a citizenship, like a Swedish citizenship, and then compete for Sweden instead, right?
Oh, okay.
And I even had that idea at one point. And a lot of people mentioned that to me. Well, you could compete for Sweden, because they had guys from other countries who came over, stayed a couple of years, and they did, right? So I'm
okay.
thinking that might be the route to go instead of going back and, you know, going through the NPC and the Nationals.
Right.
You know, I'm so. I gave that some thought, and I went to the show I trained for in March of 83. It was the, like I said, the Halmstad Open.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there, and I beat Christer Eriksson in the overall.
Right.
He was a heavyweight. Right. I was a light heavyweight. Now, he, a week later, won the European Championships, the IFBB European Championships, which was the okay. biggest show in Europe.
Yeah.
So I thought after that, well, wait a minute. Instead of waiting 2 years to try to get a Swedish, let's say, citizenship or whatever it would take to compete for Sweden, why mm-hmm. not just go and shoot for the 84 NPC USA?
Okay.
So I contacted a friend of mine who was living in Oxnard at the time, Port Hueneme. And from there, I think I came over in like May of 84, a couple of months before the show. I was
okay.
in pretty good condition at the time. And I talked him into entering the USA as well, because he had to qualify. We both had to qualify.
Okay.
So we started training for the 84 NPC USA, and I qualified by winning the Amateur Grand Prix, which was a week earlier at Santa Monica High School.
A week before the USA.
Just 1 week.
Wow.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
So I ended up winning that show. I won the, it was a medium class, medium height class in the overall.
Okay.
And of course, went to the USA in San Jose a week later and weighed in at like 194 and a half, 195.
Okay. Wow.
And I looked at the competitors list and I didn't recognize any names on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no one I really knew.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I don't know anyone. I don't know any of these names. I said, that sounds weird, because I used to, you know, knowing at least who the top amateurs were in the country. I always kept up with that.
Who were you expecting to be there, Phil?
I was expecting anywhere from Mike Christian. It could have been. Yeah. It could have been someone like...
Mike won the Nationals that year, right?
He's yeah. a great light heavyweight already.
Yeah.
Someone like... even Moses Maldonado, I'm thinking that's a, you know, that's probably not him, but I mean, it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And there was JJ Marsh. So I considered all these guys that were out here that I knew.
Yeah.
But none of them were on the list. So, I mean, I figured, oh, this could be anybody's show. And there's just someone out there I didn't know. You know, I didn't know who they were.
At the time, so you were probably reading the magazines, right? So you were aware of who was USA and the Nationals.
Absolutely,
the year before.
Yes. 83.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember the year before that, I think it was a good friend of mine. What was his name? The guy from Pittsburgh. Benny Pota.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Benny Pota. Yeah.
He won the light heavyweight in 83.
Okay.
And I knew Benny pretty well. And so, I mean, you know, I said, I don't know any of your names on the list. There's no one here. So unless there's someone, you know, that I haven't heard of who's super spectacular, I probably got a good chance of getting in the top three.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Because back then, the Nationals was probably bigger than the USA back then, right?
It was. See, the yeah. USA was not a pro qualifier.
Right, right.
It became a pro qualifier in 85 with the World Games.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 86, JJ won, and he had to petition to get a pro card, right? And in 87, it became a pro winner, a pro card for the overall winner.
Which was Mike Quinn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and people say, why did you do both shows? I'm thinking I had to.
Yeah.
I had no choice.
Yeah, so you thought going in the USA would be a good stepping stone on your way to the Nationals,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, getting my name in the NPC. I mean, the USA was the second biggest show.
Sure, right.
In the NPC. So, I mean, that's going to get your name on the pages of, you know, Iron Man, Muscle Builder, or...
Flex,
or just whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the magazines that were available back then, Muscle Mag, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Tell me a little bit about your training going into that show, Phil, because you came to the United States a couple months before. How many days a week were you training? I remember you were saying before about how you needed, you felt like with your body, you needed the recuperation and everything, right?
Yeah. I always had a hard time with recovery for whatever reason. And a lot of it's the fact that I trained clean for most of the year. So I tried, of course, training each body part. We all do in the beginning twice a week. Well, that didn't work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would train each body part and I would keep a calendar every 6 to 7 days.
Okay.
So if I needed extra rest here and there, I would take it. And after 4 to 6 weeks, I would automatically take a week off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, right now, during that time period, every 6 or 7 days, each body part. And now it's every 10, 11 days. Being younger, you recover a lot faster.
Yeah.
So I did that in the late 70s. I started that and rolled that all the way through until probably the mid 90s.
Was that unusual for that time, Phil, to only be training each body part once a week like you were doing back then?
Yeah, it was then. I don't know if it is now or not, but during that time.
No, I don't think it is now, but back then, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was one of the first to do it. And I tell you who gave me the idea was Mike Mentzer. He put on a seminar in George's gym, Crazy George,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Had Mike come and do a seminar. And this is the funny thing. Everything he said went against what George was teaching us, right?
Right.
And then George calls him a bloody genius. He goes, this guy's a genius. And we're looking at him and going, we're thinking, he says the opposite of everything you're saying.
Right.
And George never said anything about it. With Mike, I got to know him while he was there. And he said, try training each body part once a week. And that was in 1978. So I was probably one of the first to switch over to that. And I stayed with it throughout my career.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about, a tremendous amount of volume. We're talking about for biceps, 5 or 6 sets. That's
right.
The tricep, 8 sets, deltoids, 9 sets, back, because you have lats, upper, middle, lower,
mm-hmm.
12 sets, hamstrings, 6 sets, quads, 8 sets, calves, 3 sets.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's really
that's
about it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
But the intensity, I'm going to say this, the intensity, you have to push, man. Two positive failure, at least a positive failure, you know. I use things like rest pause. You know, my wife will give me 4 reps. I'm training with her now. But, I'd use 4 reps. But, the volume was low. The intensity, as high as you can take it. And, the thing is, John, I've never been strong. I've told you this before. I've never picked up a 100-pound pair of dumbbells except to move them out of the way, right?
Right.
So I don't train that heavy, but I train with a low sort of tempo, a slow tempo, let's put it that way.
Right, right.
Say a slow tempo. So, I train slower,
mm-hmm.
and I've learned to just focus on feeling everything, using as many muscle contractions as I can get during the exercise, of course.
Okay.
So that's really it. You worked out with me a little bit, so you've kind of seen a little bit. What I do, what I've done is the same thing.
Yeah, you have really good form. You get a real good extension, a real good contraction.
Contraction,
and it's not about lifting the heaviest weights. It's just about really training that muscle. Yeah.
No, it's not about moving heavy weight. It's about how you move that weight. So.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about your diet, Phil? You were only, 24 years old at the time, right? When you were getting ready for this USA. Yeah.
Right.
So I'm sure
I was
fast metabolism.
About 4.5 weeks into my 24th birthday. What I learned early on, and I learned this from the guy that first started me,
mm-hmm.
and I started dieting when I was probably about 15. I started eating for bodybuilding purposes or intentions, right?
Yeah.
So, I learned how to, I never had a, let's say, I've never really ate a lot of junk foods and fast foods as a kid. We didn't have that. When I was a kid growing up, I used to get a coupon from McDonald's, and my mom would take me there probably like once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That would be it. Other than that, everything was done at home.
Yeah.
So we didn't grow up in the fast food world. In the 60s, you didn't have that. You didn't have the junk food world that you have now. I feel sorry for these kids today. They're bombarded with junk food.
Yeah, they go to McDonald's once or twice a day.
Oh, sometimes they do. Yeah, it's not surprising. So, I grew up eating lean red meat,
mm-hmm.
Chicken, fish, vegetables, potatoes, rice, more or less, that's what I've done for the last, I would say since I was 15.
Yeah, your whole life.
Even
yeah.
to this day, I mean, I don't stray away from the natural foods.
Right.
So my diet's always been sort of a natural foods diet.
Mm-hmm.
I was never, never used junk food. I mean, I was lucky. It was a time, during that time, we just didn't do that like they do now.
And like your training, I mean, you never really used super heavy weights. And also with your diet and stuff, you never really bulked up. You never really got super big, right?
Not really, no. The heaviest I got, I think, was about 235 at one time.
Okay.
And I think that must have been, I'm trying to think. That was, I can't remember the time period, but it was about 230, 235. But usually I stayed around 220.
Okay.
And, of course, I competed as a light heavyweight in the amateur. So we're talking about, let's say, 20 pounds plus.
Yeah, okay.
Which was, you're in a comfortable position where you can train heavy. But at the same time, the foods were basically the same. The only thing I had to do was reduce calories, reduce carbohydrates. But there wasn't a tremendous change in the diet.
So how long would you diet for a show then, Phil? How fast would you lose that weight?
I always gave myself about 16 weeks.
Oh, really?
I did something at certain points. Now, this is what I did for the 84 USA and for the Chicago Pro. What I would do was diet down early. I start early, mm-hmm. get down to what, and I learned this from George, of course, was get down to about 5 pounds under what you were going to compete at.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right, and from there, come back up, if that makes sense. I don't know if you've heard of that.
So come back up by increasing your calories a little.
Your carb, yes, exactly, carbs, and kind of growing up into the show.
Okay, mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I remember. I think Franco and Arnold used to do that a little bit.
Yeah, no, I got it from George. George had Cliff Coons do that one year, and it was at the 81 Junior USA, I want to think, where he won the class.
Okay.
And Cliff Coons is a bodybuilder out of St. Louis.
Yeah,
George mm-hmm. trained, and this kid was shredded.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got that technique from George. That worked for me, and it worked best at actually the 88 Chicago Pro.
Okay,
I went down to about 194.5 pounds, and from there came back up to 200 pounds.
Okay,
during that period of time.
So when you're dieting for the show, I mean, when you won that show the week before, what was that called? The Ultimate Grand Prix.
Oh, the Amateur Grand Prix.
The Amateur Grand Prix, okay.
Yeah.
So when you won that, what kind of feedback did you get from the people at the show that night?
Oh, the best was the best I got was from Jim Morris. You remember Jim Morris, 73 AAU Mr. America winner, right?
Mr. America.
Jim says, "Oh, wow." He goes, "We talked after the show, and his kid was in the show. He had a guy that was from his gym that took second in the light heavyweight class, or the I'm going to call it the middleweight class." Or the medium height class, I'm going to call it. This was still the NPC, but they still had a height class in this event.
Oh, really? Okay.
Remembering all these. I think they did, yes. Because there was short, medium, and tall. And I fell in the medium category. I said, an NPC show, because this is a week before the NPC USA. But Jim mm-hmm. Morris said, he goes, "You got great potential." He said, "Do this, do that. What are you doing?" And, we talked for about an hour after the show.
Oh, really?
We stayed in contact with one another, yeah. So I figured I had a good chance. I mean, still, you never know what you're going to run into.
What did Jim say when you told him you were going to do the USA?
Oh, he said, you've got a good shot.
Okay.
He said, I think you got a great shot. And I thanked him, and from there we kind of stayed in touch after that.
Okay. So did you do anything different, Phil,
Santa Monica? Not really.
No,
I went back. I remember going back on a low-carb diet the next day, and I think I went until like Wednesday evening, and then I started slowly carbing up again for Saturday, if I remember correctly.
And where was the USA held that year?
Okay, that was in San Jose. The Amateur Grand Prix was in Santa Monica High School, and then a week later, we went up to San Jose, and... Let's see, I remember at the weigh-in, I didn't recognize anybody, and Samir Banut was there. This is the funny thing. So we go backstage to warm up for the pre-judging. And Samir's going between me and Lee Labrada, right? He's going back and forth. I knew Samir very well. I met Samir at 1977 in George's gym because George trained him for a while. And then when I moved to California in 81, I stayed in Samir's apartment for about probably a month or so.
Wow.
Right? Okay. Before I got my own, he helped me get my first roommate, find some roommates. And that was the second place I first, you know, where I lived when I moved out there. So Samir's going between Lee and I. I had no idea who Lee was. And then I said, somebody told me, well, Samir's helping Lee. I said, well, who's Lee? He goes, that's his brother-in-law, right?
Yeah. Because so Samir was married to Lee's sister. Yeah.
If I'm saying it, pronouncing your name right, Lourdes. Mm-hmm. And so I remember seeing Lee backstage, and it was funny because he backstage is not that impressive.
Yeah.
But once he poses, I mean, boom, it's a whole different it's a different guy, right?
And
I'm looking
at Lee was supposed to be in the middleweight class and he missed the
division. He stood over by 3 pounds.
Okay.
He stood over to 178. I guess they didn't give him a chance to lose the weight, but he would have easily won the middleweight, no problem.
Yeah,
he hasn't won the middleweight. Sure. I've never heard his name since.
Yeah,
so he would have easily won the middleweight class.
Right.
But I'm looking at Lee backstage, and I'm thinking, well, he's good, but he's small.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't think it was that close. Mike said, oh, you got a good shot. So I'm getting excited. I'm thinking, oh, great.
Yeah.
And I said, Mike came back later on. He goes, you got to watch this guy, Labrada. I'm saying, is it close? He said, yeah, it's real close. And I'm thinking, oh, no shit. I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking myself, I said, well, what can I do to separate us, right?
Yeah.
And Mike said, the back poses. He said,
yeah.
Let him see your back, hope your back poses longer. And
okay.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
And in the end, I mean, I beat Lee by 1 point.
Wow, was that close? Holy cow.
Yeah, it was that close. And that show was that close, 1 point.
At the prejudging, did they pull you guys out together? Or was it like a top five?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, when we were all in the top, we were going back and forth, of course, with the mandatories.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I seen him backstage, you can't see him on stage. I'm on stage.
Yeah.
So I can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
But backstage, looking at him, he's not that impressive backstage. And I've seen that with a lot of guys, though. You see him in the gym, and they're not that impressive. But you see him on stage, and it's another animal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he comes alive on stage. I mean, his poses are, boom, every fantastic. The only thing that separated us was the back poses.
Wasn't Gary Strider in that show also?
Absolutely. It was the same thing. When we had the overall with Gary from the front and the side was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, from the back, he was is a different guy.
Yeah.
And they were going back to 84. His back was really weak. Considering his side and his front, the back is, was really weak. So that's the only thing that separated me and Gary was the back poses. My best body part would probably be my back.
Right, absolutely. You had an outstanding
guy. So, and that was Gary's weakest point. That was probably Lee's weakest point at that time.
Mm-hmm,
so that separated us.
You never heard of Gary either, right? You never probably saw him before.
No, I saw him later on in the magazine, and the only thing I saw the one was Junior Mr. Florida 1 year, like probably in 81 or 82 or something like that. But that was it. Yeah, but other than that, I knew he was from South Africa.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But no, I'd never heard of him before. You know, before that, no.
Okay.
No idea, really.
So, how did you feel, Phil, after you won that contest? Because now you win the second biggest national show in the country. Yeah.
Oh, great! I mean, I was excited. That was great. Uh-huh. That sort of got my name in the magazines, of course.
Yeah.
Got me a contract with Super Spectrum Vitamins, and that got me a lot of work. I mean, I got more work in Sweden, I say Scandinavia, and Europe. From having that title or winning that title than I did in the USA, of course, because you had more bodybuilders over here. It was more competitive as far as the guest poses. But over in Europe during that time, there were very few European pros.
Right.
So I was.
So you're still. You're still living in Sweden at the time, right?
Sweden. I went back to California. Okay. A short time after the USA, and then my first wife went back to Sweden.
Okay.
And then life in Sweden was easier. Like I said, I made more money over there. There's less stress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the idea for that period of time. It was a good time to be there.
Yeah, yeah. So how long did you stay in the U.S. After you won the USA before you went back there? So
I'm going to say a couple of months, 6 weeks to probably 2 months.
Okay.
Because I got a little bit of work. I got some guest posings. I did some photo shoots, did some stuff at Super Spectrum. And after that, I went back, and then I had a guy over there that was a friend of mine who set up some work for me. I got a contract with a clothing company over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was called BC. And I did a photo shoot with Helena Christensen, who's ended up being a Miss Universe and like a top runway model.
Oh, right? Really? Okay.
She's also a film star. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, things were good over there. I couldn't complain. I was paid well.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you meet Rick Wayne at the USA contest? Because I remember he wrote an article about you.
I'll tell you the story with Rick. I was with Bill Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And I posed for Bill Grant at the 83 Swedish Grand Prix, right?
Okay.
And Bill said, oh, my God. He goes, hey, wait. He goes, Bill. I knew Bill from Gold's Gym in 82, of course.
Uh-huh.
And saw him at the Grand Prix where he was competing there. Samir was competing. And he told Rick Wayne, I got this kid I want you to meet. He said, you got to see this kid. And so he said, come here, Phil. And he introduced me to Rick. Me and Rick talked. And we set up a time to meet. I think it was the following morning or the day after. And we were going to have an interview. I was going to pose for Rick so he could see what I had, you know, et cetera.
Yeah.
And for some reason, he got called off and couldn't make the interview. So when I went to the interview, there was a guy that said, oh, Rick couldn't make it. He said to apologize. He goes, next time he sees you, you guys get together, he'll do it. And that didn't happen until after the USA.
Okay. Yeah. So was he at the USA then? Was Rick Wayne at the USA?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was there, and then we saw each other again. And, of course, we did, you know, it kind of started from there.
Yeah. So he was very complimentary about your physique then, right, when he saw you in the USA? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, Rick was great. He's a great guy. I like Rick a lot. But I had pictures of Rick when I was a kid, right? And
he was an outstanding bodybuilder. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Plus, he was a great writer. I think he wrote some books. Did he do this? What was it called?
He did one called Muscle Wars, I think. Muscle Wars.
Muscle Wars. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Then there was something else he did.
He was also doing the Three More Reps books. He was doing those.
Three More Reps. There was one, two, and three, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first, second, and third edition. There were three copies of that, or three editions of that. And I had those magazines at one time. I had Muscle Wars. I had all these magazines and books, or all the books at one time. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And they were lost in shipping. Mm. I had them shipped over to Sweden, and during the shipping, they were somehow damaged. So I lost those books.
Yeah,
plenty of books. I used to collect.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so it was great, man. Rick was a great guy.
Yeah, he was. So after you win this USA contest, were you thinking about the Nationals then the next year?
Well, that was the next step, of course. There's nothing mm-hmm. after that, right? I mean,
that's
the next step. That's the final step. So you start looking at, you know, the Nationals, and I started training for that about a month after. Let's say 2 months after the USA. I took some time off, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I always do that after a show, you know, heal and recover and, you know, replenish. And I started training for that. That would probably be the July, August, probably about September, probably no October, 1984. I started
almost
training. The show was October 19th, 1985. So I gave myself a year.
A full year. Yeah.
Ready for that show.
Yeah. So looking at your physique from when you won the USA, Phil, what did you think you needed to work on for the 1985 Nationals?
Let's see. For me, I would say more tricep thickness, deltoid mm-hmm. fullness.
Okay.
I always consider my chest to be shallow, better outer thigh sweep, more hamstring development, and overall just more size and just trying to balance everything out.
Right.
I mean, I went to a point where I really didn't have any true weak points.
Yeah.
That would be it more than anything else. And of course, just dialing in and just getting as hard as I could.
Right. Because you were 194 for the USA. So what did you weigh when you went to the Nationals?
I weighed in at 197 and a quarter, something like that.
Okay.
So not bad. I gained about, plus I was harder.
Yeah,
I believe I was harder.
I thought you were perfectly peaked for that Nationals because you were definitely thicker and you were big and you were full. You weren't flat at all, but you were also ripped. So, I mean, I just thought you totally hit your peak for that one.
No, good. That's great. Yeah, thank you. You know, I did everything I knew to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was happy with it. I posed for Rick Valente backstage. No, it was backstage. It was in the hotel men's room.
Okay.
I said, what do you think? I said, take a look at me. And I also posed for Benny Pota after.
Okay.
And they said, oh, that's the best. You're incredible. That's the best you ever looked. He goes, mm-hmm. Wow. They were both very impressed. And I was happy with their opinions on that. So, I mean, yeah, I went in there with, I guess, in near perfect condition. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I didn't know you were really good friends with Benny Pota.
Oh, yeah. Me and Benny used to hang out together.
Oh, really?
Benny was a bodyguard for, what's his name? Chuck Norris, right?
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that.
He's in a couple of Chuck Norris's films. They're in World
Gym.
And Chuck is doing incline presses. I can't remember what movie it is. And Benny's spotting him.
Oh,
so
really?
Anyway, you can look this up if you ever get a chance. So Chuck had a restaurant off the Pacific Coast Highway, and Benny took me there. He introduced us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was around, that had to be around 1984, 5, I guess, sometime in 85.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly, but Chuck had a restaurant there. It was a seafood restaurant. And so he and Benny became very close.
Okay. I heard Benny was crazy.
Yeah, you got always end up with the crazy guys. He's sort of real funny guy, real nice guy, super nice guy, but sort of eccentric. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Funny.
All right, trained heavy as hell. He used to train with the Mensers, right?
Right, right.
Benny squatted like something like stupid, like 800 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that. And back then, nobody squatted 800 pounds.
No, he didn't think about doing that. Yeah, so I mean, he was it was an intense guy. I mean, he was cool, though. I mean, one of the coolest guys I've known. But he was crazy. Let's call him crazy. It's safe to say that.
Well, I remember, I never saw him compete or anything, but I remember reading one of the magazines and he did some national show and they said he went out there and the crowd was going crazy for him because it must have been, maybe it was in the East Coast where the show was, where he was from. And he was posing so hard that he posed until his nose started to bleed.
I know. I remember that. His nose would bleed.
Right.
He would
force himself to pose so hard until his nose finally started to bleed. What a nut.
No. I think there was an article written in Muscle and Fitness or Flex at the time. It was called Bleed, Benny Bleed. And it showed Benny hit the most muscular pose and blood running down out of his nose, right?
Crazy.
Now, the last thing I heard about Benny, and this is true, that he was into Wing Chun and fighting on tables somewhere. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what Bruce Lee used to do, right? Wing Chun.
And they do, it's a post-stance fighting, right?
Right, right. You stand close together, right. Mm-hmm.
And they have a type of fighting they call table fighting.
So you stand on a table?
On a table. Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's pretty crazy.
I read this, and I just said, holy shit, what's Benny into? And that was that was so long ago. That must have been, we're going back a decade. More than a decade, I would say.
Wow.
And I haven't heard Benny's name since.
How old is Benny now? Is he about your age?
Benny's a few years older than I am. I would say Benny would be about 60. I'm 58, so Benny's about 60.
Yeah.
And there's another thing I heard, too, and I don't know if this is true, that he was living in a cave somewhere.
I heard that, too. Yeah. He was living in a cave in a mountain or something. Yeah.
In a mountain, yeah.
Right.
Okay, John.
Like a monk.
I'm glad you heard that because people would say much. And yeah, that was probably the last thing I read about him. Yeah, that was the last thing I read about him.
Wow.
He was a character. He was a true character.
They called him the Beast from the East, right?
Yes, sir. That was it. Yes, sir.
Right.
Came out of Jim Mannion's gym in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, he's from Pittsburgh, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he came out of Jim Mannion's gym along with Dave Hawk, and mm-hmm. they had another guy that came out of there that did well in the middleweights for a lot of years, and I can't remember his name.
Mike Huber, was that it?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Yes.
The Cobra, right? Mike the Cobra Huber.
Yes, yeah, that's yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So let's talk about your training then for the Nationals, Phil. You go back to Sweden, and you wanted to bring up those certain body parts. So did you train? Was it just normal training, and you're just focusing on those body parts, or did you do something different?
I mean, it was normal training, but that training, mm-hmm. I had those body parts in mind. So, I mean,
okay.
I learned how to slow down and feel more, you know. It's not so much the weight you move, it's how you move the weight. And traveling in certain pathways, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So in a sense, I mean, if you're doing side lateral raises, I'm traveling in a certain pathway. I mean, if I'm doing any exercise, I'm trying to get a contraction, so I'm traveling in a certain pathway.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Yeah, as much out of each workout as I could.
Okay.
I mean, I'm still staying with things like squats, of course. Heavy squats as much as I could for 8 reps. But always mm-hmm. with perfect form. I mean, so, like I said, I've never been a guy I have long arms, long limbs, let's put it that way. So I've never been that strong, you know, as mm-hmm. opposed to a guy who's got shorter arms and a thicker rib cage for movements like pressing movements, squats, leg presses, things like that. As heavy as I can, and I mean, my minimum as far as reps would go would be usually 8, and with leg work, anywhere between 8 and 20.
Okay.
But like I said, a slow tempo, a very slow tempo.
Mm-hmm. When you're training for the Nationals, you got a full year of training. Was your focus on like increasing the weight? So you're training heavier on squats. So let's say maybe you're doing 275, you want to go to 315 or more, you know, was that the focus?
Right. But staying within a certain form. I mean, I wouldn't sacrifice the form for the weight. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Sacrifice is the word I was looking for. Yeah, so my form was near perfect. Just like I said, just the same thing I do today, except mm-hmm. I would try to increase the poundage.
And then what would your weight get up to in the off season then, Phil? Like around 220 again?
That year I didn't get probably more than 215.
Oh, really?
So I kept it tighter, yeah. Plus I was doing a lot of guest posing. I mean, I was looking up to do a lot of guest posing after the USA. And if I had 2 appearances a month, I could live off that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, I mean, that was the best time for me, actually. And I was able to make the best progress. So, I mean, going in from 194 to 197 in a year and, let's say, 2 or 3 months is not a tremendous amount of muscle gain, but the hardness, and plus when you're at that level, it's real hard, you know, putting on 2 or 3 pounds of muscle a year is not easy.
Right. Something you said earlier when we were talking, you said that you were clean in the off season. So when you get most of the year, then you weren't taking anabolics.
Not, no. I'll tell you why. I learned this from George.
Okay.
George says, you know, you can cycle periodically. Let's say you go 8 to 10, 12 weeks on, mm-hmm. then you take 6 months off. The idea behind that was so that when you went back on again, it was like your body receptors or your receptors, right,
mm-hmm.
were
mm-hmm.
fresh. And then you got a good response from it.
Right.
So that was the idea. So, I mean, back then, even throughout my career, I never relied on it. I mean, I would try mm-hmm. to cycle in a little bit, give myself a pickup, and then come off again and let the receptors replenish so that when you went back on, you would get a good reaction.
Yeah.
And so most of the year, I mean, I would say between the 84 USA and the 85 Nationals, I probably midway did like an 8 to 10 week cycle mm-hmm. just to help, boom, give me a boost. and then come off, and then 6 months clean, and then before the Nationals, go back on again.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I remember, like, when I was a teenager, and I started working out in the late 70s, and I would hear the guys in the gym talking, and I remember most of the guys would be like, go 8 weeks on, 8 weeks off, 8 weeks on, 8 weeks off.
Yeah.
So they were always cycling, you know.
They're always cycling. Yeah, there's always an off season, let's put it that way. And they're having an off season, you know. And, I mean, the guy, even talking to Mincer, me and Mincer, Mike, for example, we talked about this. And Mike said, well, you don't need to go more than 8 weeks on. He goes, after 8 to 10 weeks, you lose the effects anyway.
Oh,
he said, so that time you finish the cycle. He goes, come off as long as you can. I said, if you can come off 8 weeks, that's good. But if you can continue to stay off, the longer you're off, the better off you are, right, when you come back on again.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that's what I learned, and that never changed. I continued to do that throughout my whole career.
When I talked to a lot of the guys from the 70s, like Bill Grant, you know, and the guys who do talk about it, they said they all did the same thing. They just stayed off. Well, a lot of them would stay off for most of the year, and they would just
most
go back. They would get on when they were getting ready for the show, you know.
That would be it, the last 8 to 10 weeks. Let's say we learned that if I went on before the show, by the time I hit 8 weeks on, I'm about to peak. Okay.
Okay.
I'm at my best. I'm going to be at my best with it, with whatever I was using. It's like Primobolan, let's say Test, maybe a little bit of Anavar. That would be it. 8 weeks of that, boom, you're good.
Yeah.
That's it. After that, plus, I mean, I just say this is funny to say, we were scared of it. Or we had fear.
Right.
We didn't know what would happen to you if you took a tremendous amount.
Yeah,
you know,
you're going
into
uncharted territory, sort of, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had respect for it. So, you know, and plus, I mean, you know, I wasn't the type of guy who had the money. Everything was about, you know, finances and resources. So, I mean, if I had someone I could contact and get what I needed, that would be it. I'll contact you again next year when I see you, if I need you.
right.
That would be it.
I remember
different time and different idea.
Yeah. You remember Cal Scalak? Remember that guy from the late
70s? Oh, my God, yes. I knew Cal.
Yeah.
I met Cal. I was lucky enough to meet Cal as a teenager.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow, really?
Trained at WIM.
What was he like, Phil?
Kind of quiet, real cool, kind of funny. We talked to him a little bit. Me and a friend of mine that took me out there, we got to know him a little bit. And we saw him in World Gym when it was on, I think, I'm going to say Main Street, when it was on the second floor. The first World Gym, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah,
okay,
I remember
the
picture of that, yeah.
I met him there and, you know, got to know him a little bit. He opened a gym and he's one of the first bodybuilders to start his own supplement line.
Yeah, I remember that.
Super Cal, it was called. Remember
Super
that?
Super Cal, yeah, right.
And he opened a gym somewhere in the south of L.A.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly where it was. And he had that for a number of years.
Huh. I didn't know that. I didn't know he owned a gym.
I just see college shows here and there, like the Mr. California and other shows.
Yeah, Kyle was
cool. He was a nice guy. Hungarian.
Yeah.
Hungarian bodybuilder. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, the reason why I brought him up was I remember reading an article, I think it was after he won the Universe in 77. And he was talking a muscle builder, and he said he was off the steroids for 14 months between winning the 76 America.
Mr. America, AAU Mr. America, yes.
Which I think was in around June. June of 76. And then he went into the IFBB Universe in November of 77.
Yeah.
So he said he was off for 14 months. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, well, he beat Mike that show, so that was a tough show.
Yeah, it was real close.
That was a real tough show.
Yeah, but he mentioned, he goes, some of these guys, they go on all the time, and he goes, I don't understand that. He goes, I was off for 14 months in between the two shows, you know.
Well,
I don't know if it was true or not.
Oh, I believe that. All right, John, I believe that 100%. I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I believe that 100%. Sure. Sure, I know a lot of guys who did that back then.
If you talk to these young guys now and say that, there's like, no way. They would never believe it. You know, they're like, these guys are lying.
No,
they always say that. Yeah.
No, I know. I've told people that, and they just said, that was all you took? And I'm thinking,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, you know.
But like you said, everybody thought the same way. Everybody had the same ideas, right? Everybody was doing the same thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And today I think it's the opposite where, again, everybody's doing the same thing, but they're all doing it all the time. Like, I don't think these guys really come off now. I think they're just on all the time.
I heard they didn't. You know, I mean, the idea more is better. Here we go. You know, more is better. Well, more volume is not better. More dosage, you know, more is, it's not better. So, yeah, so, you know, more food's not always better.
Right.
You know, everything has a limit. So,
I used to have a podcast, but it was around, I think 2008 I had it. It was called Natural Bodybuilding Radio. And there was a guy, I can't remember his name right now, but he was writing for Muscular Development Magazine. And he said, this guy was kind of a, so he said he was an expert in chemicals. And he would advise, he would advise natural bodybuilders what to take drugs for a natural contest and then get off in time in order to pass the test.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I said, I want to have this guy on the show. So I contacted him and he came on the show. So the first thing I said was, I go, well, let's talk about a little bit about what the steroids the bodybuilders are taking today. I said, when I was a kid, I remember everybody went 8 weeks on, 8 weeks off. And I said, what is it like today in today's world? Because this was the early 2000s. And he goes, well, first of all, he goes, nobody does that anymore. He goes, if these guys would get off for 8 weeks or more, he goes, they would probably lose 50 pounds. And he goes, it would take them like six more months of doing drugs again to put on that 50 pounds. So they don't even get off because they don't want to lose all that stuff that they, you know, all the muscle that they have.
Right.
It's like, wow. It's like they got to stay on all the time, according to this guy, you know.
Well, John, I mean, I remember, you know, going on. Let's say I'm going on an 8 week cycle. Mm-hmm. I remember coming off. I don't remember. I mean, maybe I would lose 15 sometimes, but I'd go on a lighter cycle of training too, where I train a little bit lighter. I don't remember losing that much. Not that much.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know, you don't have the muscular endurance. But I don't remember losing that much. It made me feel, what word could I use? Depressed or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just whatever the experience these guys go through when they come off. I don't remember ever feeling that. I remember coming off and it was good. Actually, it was good to come off.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, maybe losing 10, 15%, you know, of my strength, maybe some endurance, two or three reps here, maybe 10, 20, 30 pounds there, but not that much.
So when you were in the off season and you're weighing 220 or 215, that was natural. That was being off everything.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, I was stronger at that weight because you got more body fat, of course.
Right, and you're eating more. Yeah,
and you're eating more calories. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that, you know, but I mean, like I said, it was never about strength for me. I was never really concerned about strength. I was more concerned about form and feel.
Right.
You know, getting that muscular contraction. Strength, I was never, you know, when I first got into bodybuilding, it was, what, you want to be a bodybuilder or do you want to be a powerlifter? So that separate the two right there. So strength really was never that important to me.
So when you were using the stuff then before the contest, it was more of a matter of just holding on to your size and getting you harder.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was more of a finishing. I had a good, give you the equivalence, was be like a beauty contestant. You're seeing her before the show with no makeup. She's beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then going into the contest using makeup.
Yeah.
Going on the cycle was like the makeup, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and we didn't rely on it. We used it as a finisher, as a polisher, in a sense.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how I thought of it.
Right. Okay.
You know, it was going to make a world of difference. It's going to give me the hardness and the finish that I needed.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I want to thank Old School Labs and Florida Alternative Medicine for sponsoring this episode. And next week, which is Christmas week, we will have part two of our interview with Phil Williams. So you guys take care, enjoy your Christmas shopping, and we'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.